This is Morning Edition on 88.5 GPB Atlanta. I'm Leah Fleming. So there were two big stories that made headlines involving sex trafficking in Georgia last week. In Savannah, a man was convicted of 19 counts of child sex trafficking. Prosecutors there say that Timothy Lewis coerced eight girls aged 13 to 17 into sex trafficking. Meanwhile, in Sandy Springs, last week, police broke up a human trafficking operation inside a million-dollar home. Eight women were rescued, and one man was arrested in connection with that crime. One of the women said that she and the others were forced to dance for money and were threatened with death if they tried to escape. This is some 911 tape of that.
Wait, did you say you're in a house full of girls?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody threatened to kill you if you leave?
Mm-hmm.
Who's threatening to kill you?
Atlanta has a reputation as one of the worst sex trafficking hubs in the country. But how widespread is the problem? Well, joining me now is Jeff Shaw. He's the executive director of Out of Darkness, which is an anti-trafficking ministry. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So when you heard about this Sandy Springs story, what was your reaction? Were you surprised by it?
Unfortunately, no. And I think that there's a response to the location. Like, it's not the stories we typically hear about aren't happening in million-dollar gated country club communities, right? But we know it's happening there too. And I'm actually excited about the fact that this story can be a catalyst for raising the awareness, not only locally but nationally, as we've seen national news outlets picking it up too.
I'm sure that most people think that sex trafficking, it occurs in truck stops and these seedy hotels. But the million-dollar home, I think, is what surprised people, but not you.
Yeah, the reason is they're always going to go where you're not expected to be because there's less likelihood of getting caught. So Motel 6s, certain parts of the city, that's where everybody expects they're going to find prostitution and trafficking. But when you move to the area where nobody's looking, and the reality is today, a lot of neighbors don't even know who their neighbors are. Everybody's kind of caught up in their own grind and day-to-day routine. So you can kind of slide under the radar and nobody's going to expect to find it there. But the other side of that is for a higher end clientele, you have to have a higher end operation. So you might have, like, if the majority of demand for purchasing sex and trafficking is coming from north of the perimeter, which is where this sting happens. So when you've got businessmen living in the suburbs that don't want to drive to downtown Atlanta and pay $5, $10, $25 for a woman standing on the corner, they're much more likely to find one of these operations that the neighborhood feels like their neighborhood, the home feels like their home, the women look and act higher end. So that's what we saw in this particular case.
Yeah. Yeah. You and I were talking a little bit earlier about what to look out for. And as you were saying, many neighbors don't know each other, but sometimes people will drive by a home and see, you know, multiple people, like women, standing outside. And that's one of the signs to look out for.
Yeah. So some of the things of a lot of late night traffic. So 9, 10, 11, 12, and later, you see a lot of cars coming and going. You see a lot of different people kind of rotating through the house. The higher volume of potentially women or young women that you're seeing there. It's our natural tendency is that we see something, it kind of raises a flag, and we think, well, I'm probably wrong. It couldn't be that, or I don't want to be wrong. But it's good if you see something, say something. There's a national human trafficking hotline. And people can call that number, ask some questions. They can give you some good coaching of questions to ask, things to look for, who to contact.
Okay. Your organization is involved with rescuing a number of people. Has your organization had any contact with the women that were rescued last week?
So what we can say is we have been involved in this particular incident, but we can't talk about the nature of our involvement. But I will say that, yes, that our partnerships with law enforcement are critical for them and for us because we want to provide the opportunity for individuals that law enforcement is rescuing to have an immediate place for individuals to go. So that's as far as I can comment on that.
Okay. When people are rescued from these situations, how do they begin to cope with the experience? You've worked intimately with these people. How do they begin to recover?
One thing I think is important to understand is that moment of rescue is not the critical moment. It's important, but it's not like you get rescued and the rest of your life is just cut and dry. Okay, now everything's going to be great. Mm-hmm. the level of complex trauma, which means traumatic incidents that happen over and over and over again, take a very deep toll on the psyche and the personality and even the brain, the impact of trauma on the brain of the individual. And that takes years to unpack through healthy community, counseling services, job skills, education, a lot of things, because the average age that people get involved in this is 11 to 14 years old. You got to figure there's a lot of growing up that has to happen later in life, depending on how long they've been in it and what age they were rescued. So there's a lot of that going back and helping them get a GED, learn how to drive a car, make a budget. So there's a lot of things wrapped up in the process of recovery.
Do you think that any future legislation, will that do anything to resolve this issue completely? Will we ever see an end to sex trafficking?
I'm glad you asked. I personally believe that we will see it end. I live my life with the devotion that in my lifetime, I will see a metro Atlanta area where you cannot find the purchase and sale of sex. But I think law is a piece of that. I don't think it's the full answer, but the law educates the society as to our values. So we say, hey, we take this seriously. We're passing laws that show we take this seriously. That teaches men who are working jobs, who are married, who have families of their own, it's going to be a huge price to pay if you go down this road. But the other side of that, too, is we have to have prevention efforts at young ages so people never get caught up in this to begin with. So more educational opportunities for vulnerable boys and girls, better mentoring for our young men that are being brought up in the absence of a male figure to teach them what healthy masculinity looks like. So it's really a comprehensive issue, but we can tackle all those elements to create a society, I think, where we say this doesn't exist anymore.
All right. We've been speaking with Jeff Shaw, the executive director of Out of Darkness and Anti-Trafficking Ministry. And Jeff, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.